The jury finds defendant Newton Lambert not guilty of murder in the first degree as charged in count one of the grand jury indictment.
A Juneau judge reads part of the jury's verdict in the Newton Lambert trial in 1983. The then 21-year-old Juneau man was accused of sexually assaulting and stabbing James and Ann Benolken. The couple, in their 60s, were found in their apartment at the F&L building on South Franklin Street at least 9 days after they were killed in April 1982. Lambert was acquitted of murder for the death of James Benolken, but convicted in Ann's murder and sentenced to 99 years in prison.
The jury finds the defendant, Newton Lambert, guilty of murder in the first degree as charged in the grand jury indictment, count two.
Co-defendant Emmanuel Tullis was acquitted in a trial that immediately followed Lambert's. Lambert still maintains his innocence. 2 years ago, he made a last-ditch attempt to get his case reviewed and his conviction overturned based on the testimony of FBI agent Michael Malone. He was found to have used flawed techniques in examining hair fiber evidence. An analysis published by the Washington Post in April found at least 137 cases around the country which were secretly reviewed years ago by the U.S. Justice Department for suspect forensic work. Defense attorneys in many of those cases were not notified by the department when those reviews were finished. In Lambert's case, the Washington Post says the notification went to his attorney, who had died. More recently, Lambert has embarked on a new second attempt to get his conviction overturned. He wants to find and examine 30-year-old DNA evidence collected from the Benolken apartment. Lambert's application may be one of the first under a relatively new Alaska law. It requires preservation of evidence from unsolved homicides and sex crimes for at least 50 years and sets criteria for who can apply for post-conviction DNA testing. Bill Oberle of the Alaska Innocence Project says their group pushed for the new law from the very start.
At the time, we were one of four states, and when our law was passed, one of three states that did not have any form of post-conviction DNA testing. So we were kind of bringing up the rear.
Senator Hollis French is chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which sponsored the version of the bill signed into law 2 years ago.
We wanted this law in place to do two simple things: catch the guilty, free the innocent.
French is also a former prosecutor.
It's a real balancing act. You've got to maintain an avenue for prisoners to be able to come to court and prove their innocence if there's some evidence out there that supports it. But keep in mind, you know, there are victims on the other side of the equation who want to see cases come to an end. They want to see finality to cases. And so this bill tried to strike that right balance.
Oberle would like to revisit that concept of finality. The new statute has an application deadline of 2020 for anyone convicted before July 2010. For convictions after 2010, it's a 3-year window to ask for DNA testing.
I don't think there should ever be a sunset requirement on an innocence claim. If evidence can be found that would establish that a person imprisoned is innocent, I don't think there should ever be a time limit on when that could be brought.
Deputy Attorney General Rick Sabodny says that provision was actually a compromise. It's a deadline that's not a real deadline.
It's presumed that if you do it within 3 years, you acted fast enough. It's presumed if you waited longer than 3 years, you didn't act fast enough. But either way, you could come, either side can come in and say, they knew about this for 6 months. They knew that the victim was dying of cancer and not going to be available in 3 months, so they chose to wait six. That's not a fair thing to do.
Sabodny is currently the head of the State Department of Law's Criminal Division, but 30 years ago, he was the same junior prosecutor who tried Lambert and Tullis in back-to-back trials. He says there are at least two other current Alaska cases in which defendants have recently asked to go back and examine potential DNA evidence.
DNA is all situational, and it is best determinative in sexual assault cases. The fact that you left some DNA here that we can get off my desk a week from now doesn't mean that you did the burglary 5 days from now.
The relatively new law clarifies what was essentially new ground for the Alaska justice system in 1993. William Osborne was convicted of raping an Anchorage area prostitute. He fought to have evidence tested that could exonerate him. His case went before the Alaska Supreme Court, which ruled that the evidence had to be linked to the crime and definitively prove guilt or innocence. In the end, the U.S. Supreme Court essentially determined Osborne had no constitutional guarantee to DNA testing, especially without trying other state procedures for post-conviction relief. Osborne's apparent admission of guilt before a parole board would essentially bar him from asking for a DNA test under the new statute.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I want to thank you for performing this duty for the state. You performed it well. I'll tell you that I would agree with your verdict. Thank you very much. You are excused.
Lambert's public defender, Jude Pate, declined to comment on the record for this story. The prosecutor assigned to the case, Assistant District Attorney Amy Williams, also declined substantial comment, other than to say that it was challenging to find materials in the old case. Both will appear in Juneau Superior Court as Pate seeks DNA testing. It's unclear whether Lambert will participate by telephone from prison in Colorado or whether he will be transported to Juneau. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.